So that's where we begin. Where we begin with this vow is by developing an empathic, friendly response to whatever being that is before us. Whatever we encounter, whoever we encounter, there is a friendly, empathic response. So it's talking about a continuity of friendliness, keeping it up all the time. Well, that's quite an achievement, isn't it, in itself? That's an incredible achievement to do something like that. I'd be quite content, I think, if I could achieve that to just a little degree. But there's more than that. All these beings I must lead to nirvana, into the realm of nirvana, which leaves nothing behind. The bodhisattva knows, he sees, that to love others means to give them what they really need. And what everybody, what every being needs, is to be free of pain and suffering and dissatisfaction. What every being needs is fulfillment. The fulfillment of their deepest longings and aspirations. The bodhisattva knows and sees that freedom from pain, freedom from dukkha, is found in nirvana. And that fulfillment and satisfaction is found in nirvana. In the nirvana which leaves nothing behind. So that's why he wants to lead them all to nirvana. Because that will fulfill their deepest needs. Freedom from suffering and fulfillment of their deepest aspirations. This nirvana which leaves nothing behind is technical Buddhist language. It's really trying to get over the sort of completeness, I think, of the vow. In traditional Buddhism, there are two kinds of nirvana in early Buddhism. There's the nirvana with remainder. So the Buddha attained nirvana, enlightenment, under the Bodhi tree. But he was still visible. His psychophysical organism was still operating within conditioned existence. So that was the remainder. His skandhas, technical term again, his conditioned being was still operating even though he'd attained nirvana. But then there's nirvana without remainder, which is attained at parinirvana, final nirvana. We would think of that as death, I guess. But the Buddha doesn't die, it's just that his psychophysical organism vanishes, just disappears, and he attains the nirvana which leaves nothing behind. You can't say who or what or where the Buddha is at the time of parinirvana. This is very important. He hasn't just disappeared into a nihilistic vacuum. You cannot say who or what he is. That's the nirvana without remainder. Unfortunately, it did lead to nihilistic interpretations, and Konza quotes the great Madhyamika authority Chandrakirti, who defines nirvana without remainder as a city that's been razed to the ground and all the criminal gangs in it have been exterminated. And Sangharaksha thinks that's really, that kind of brutal expression is not really very helpful, you know, that nirvana sounds like, you know, there's been a kind of atomic holocaust or something like that, where there's just this wiping out. That can be very, very misleading. We have to be very careful when we encounter that sort of language. What's really being got at is inconceivability. So let's leave all that. Don't worry about all that.